Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We're finding out that God is merciful, and thus far we have been reading Jesus in Mark's Gospel, the second book of the Bible's New Testament. Today I want to begin by reading from the 8th and 9th chapters of this Gospel. I'll start in Mark chapter 8 and verse 1, and I will read through verse 9. This is Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. In those days there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat. Jesus called his disciples and said to them, "I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." And his disciples answered Jesus, "Where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people?" And Jesus was asking them, "How many loaves do you have?" And they said, 7. And Jesus directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to his disciples to serve to them, and they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, Jesus ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. About 4,000 were there, and Jesus sent them away. That is Mark chapter 8, 1 through 9. And some of you might be thinking, isn't this the same story we read yesterday? It sounds similar, doesn't it? That is because it is another example of Jesus supernaturally feeding thousands of people. But this is a new episode. Jesus fed the 5,000, more likely 20,000 after we include women and children yesterday, and today he feeds 4,000 more. And this is more likely 16,000 after we include women and children. He does it in a similar way by quickly multiplying the loaves and the small fish. And again, all of the people were satisfied and there was plenty of food left over. But I invite you to focus with me on Jesus' words in verse 2. "I feel compassion for the people." In the Greek language, the word here for compassion is the same word we saw in Mark 1 and Mark 6. And in Greek, this word means to be moved in the inward parts, to be moved in the emotions, moved in the heart for pity, for compassion, for mercy. In his inner person, Jesus is moved with compassion for the crowd. And notice how personal this is to Jesus. "I feel compassion for the people." Why is Jesus feeling such mercy towards them? Well, if you know and can recall, and if you do not know, I'm here to tell you about it now, Jesus himself knows what it means to be very hungry. Back in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus faces the temptation in the wilderness, and as part of this, he does not eat. Let me just read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry." Jesus knows what it is to be physically hungry. He knows the feeling of a starving belly. And so over in Mark 8, he says of himself, "I feel compassion." These people have been with him for 3 days. Can you go 3 days without a solid meal? This lack of sustenance draws on the compassionate Christ to feed them, and this is what he does. And now go over with me one chapter to Mark 9. We're going to see this same word, compassion, in this chapter. Mark really emphasizes the mercy of God in the life of Christ. I'm reading Mark 9, beginning at verse 17. "And one of the crowd answered Jesus, 'Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. Verse 20 of Mark 9. They brought the boy to Jesus. When he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Well, this is a desperate dad. His son is possessed by a demon that's violent and causes the boy all sorts of harm. The physical manifestation of being thrown into fire and water and slammed to the ground would have been evident on the child. Now notice the word the man uses in his response to Jesus. It's in verse 22. It is the word pity. "But if you can do anything, take pity on us." That word translated here as pity is the same Greek word used for compassion earlier in Mark's gospel. Compassion, pity, mercy. The man is asking for the mercy of Jesus to be shown to his demon-possessed son. And the response of Jesus is classic. I love this. I'm reading now Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. "And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible to him who believes.'" In verse 22, the man said to Jesus, "If you can." And in verse 23, Jesus asks, "If? If?" Never ask Jesus if he can heal. Never ask Jesus if he can perform a miracle. If you ask if, that means you lack what? Faith. If you ask if, it means you doubt whether or not Jesus can do, but you ask anyway. Notice how Jesus responds. He tells the man to have faith. Jesus says, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Believes, that's faith. Jesus says to the man, "Have faith." And in verse 24, the father responds to Jesus in a way that is both pleasing to the Lord and honest. He says, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." In other words, I have some faith. I do. But I admit that it is mixed with doubt. Oh Lord, help me. Upon hearing this, Jesus had mercy on the man and his boy and healed the son. Listen to Mark chapter 9, verses 25 through 27. "When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again.' After crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsion, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up." Once again, the power of God over Satan and his demons is on full display. God is always more powerful than Satan, and we learn this again and again in the scripture. And what I, of course, want to highlight in a true story with many highlights is this: the mighty mercy of God. Can you close your eyes for a minute and just imagine this boy? What must he have felt like after the demon left him? And alongside him is his dad. From childhood, the boy has been riddled with this evil spirit, and now, because of Jesus, he's been set free. I guarantee that if you and I could walk up to this man and his boy and ask them, "Do you believe God is a God of mercy?" they would say an unequivocal yes. Oh yes, God is. Who is God? God is merciful. I think this scene in the life of Christ prompts at least two questions from us. First, can we also receive the mercy of God? And second, how can we receive the mercy of God? These are practical questions. Can we receive mercy? And how do we receive mercy? I'll answer biblically in the same order in which I ask them. I believe we can receive the mercy of God, and I believe this is because through Christ, God offers himself to all people, and the God who has revealed himself to the world is mercy. God is mercy. Listen to these passages from the Bible, passages that describe the living God. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6 says, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. Did you hear the word compassionate? Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 31, for the Lord your God is a compassionate God. And listen to Psalm chapter 86 and verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious. See, God is merciful. And Psalm 145 and verse 8 repeats this, the Lord is gracious and merciful. God will show mercy. Now, the second question must be asked and answered. How can we receive the mercy of God? I want to answer this question by again consulting with Christ. I'm going to read to you a parable Jesus told over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and then say more about it tomorrow. This is Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. And Jesus also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. These are the words of Jesus in Luke 18, and tomorrow we will look at them again. Join me then, for God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.